Romeo, India Whiskey. My name is Dick. At this time, we begin the DickNet. As we have for the last 32 and a fraction years, starting in way back in September of 1982. This will be DickNet number 1605 of this series that began way back then. It's a meeting of the clan, a gathering of curious radio amateurs who discuss their favorite subjects, radio equipment, wireless techniques, and particularly antennas. There are 5,000 kinds of antennas. I bet you we've discussed close to 1,000 of them over the last 32 years. Antennas are quite a mystery. Even among the people who are educated specifically in that field. You take a guy coming out of a bachelor or master's degree studying wireless products, studying radio equipment, and you start asking him questions about antennas, and you rapidly discover how uncomfortable he feels about that subject. The way it's taught to him is just not giving him a warm, fuzzy feeling. You want an antenna expert, you probably have to hire a ham radio operator. They're the people who really understand how the things work. The good antenna engineers, ones that are really seasoned in doing it as an occupation, require 10 or 20 years of apprenticeship to get there, to get good at it. So that's a pretty strong piece of evidence that the way we teach that subject needs a lot of improvement. The explanations that I give to people as to how antennas work, they quite often will say, gee, why hasn't somebody told me that earlier? Why isn't that written in the book? Why isn't that in article?
Repeater, time out.
Why isn't that published in articles, so to speak? Somebody asked, can anyone copy? You're not coming through the repeater input. You came through the repeater output. The very loose schedule that we follow on the TechNet is that for the first hour or so, we take people who sign in because they do have a question or a comment. You need that sign in because you're listening. And for 32 years, we believe somebody is listening. That doesn't have to be proven to us anymore. And so, they'll sign in giving your call letters, your name, and the word yes, meaning you do have a question or a comment for the net. After the first hour or so of that kind of material, and if we get a real hot subject that everybody's interested in, it can go a lot longer than an hour, or maybe even less. Then John, KC2WGB, our mailbag expert, he collects sometimes as many as 78 emails per week from people who want to know more. In other words, they don't have the right electronic equipment to talk to us directly, or they don't have the right ham license yet, so they send a message to John saying, I'd like this question to be answered, and John will choose a few of those that he thinks are of general interest. John also monitors the Echo Link and the chat room, so if you have trouble getting into us, John will know about it, because we're too quick on the switch, so to speak. That's followed by Paul, WS2N, our space expert, and quite a few things have happened in space over the last week, which we'll be discussing. One of them is that Elon Musk had an article, not directly by him, but indirectly in Friday's Newsday, page 84, where he claims he's going to put men on Mars by the year 2025. That's 9 years away. Wow. And also there's a NASA administrator named Eva Sobel, I think is her name. David Newman, who claims that in the early 30s, 2030s, we're going to have astronauts standing on Mars. Let me drop. And for those people who have listened to me over the years, you'll know that for a number of reasons, I'm quite skeptical about that. There's some very serious, difficult-to-solve problems that have to be solved before that can take place. Okay, that gives you a little bit of a rundown of what the TechNet is. Now's the time for you guys to sign in, because you do have a question or a comment. You're going to give me your call letters, your name, and the word yes. K2RIW listening.
And can we all take with a question?
guy who didn't give us his name, but lucky we know his name is Rich. Okay, Rich with a question. Anyone else assign and give me your call letters and name right now, K2LAW. Okay, another call. Anyone to check into the TechNet because you do have a question or a comment? Give me your call letters and name right now. K2LIW.
Quick comment, Dick.
Go ahead, John.
Dick, I got a call from IXT, John, earlier. There's a lot of Long Island that's without power. I don't know if you're aware of that. So we may have a little trouble tonight, but that may be one of the reasons it's a little late. Back to you, Dick. KC2WGB.
Yeah, give me a couple of words on that, John. Do we know roughly what area of Long Island is out of power? And my lights have been flickering for the last 2 days. And I've been hearing explosions in the background followed by a flickering of lights. But my lights stayed on. So roughly what area of Long Island do you think is out there, John? Go ahead.
I wasn't informed on the area, Dick. I just know that it was significant. Maybe John is listening. IXP, if you're out there, come in with some of the information if you have it. KC2WGB.
Would be terrible if John is one of the areas where it's out of power. I wonder if you've ever been out of power, John, and you had to run on batteries to operate your ham radio equipment. If so, what's the longest period of time you've ever operated on battery or auxiliary power because of Staten Island was without? What would you, John?
Yeah, Dick, during Sandy, I had an issue, and I had a huge UPS system, and the batteries failed. I only had 40 minutes where I thought I'd have at least 8 hours, and my batteries only supported me for 45 minutes. That was a disaster. But right now I'm running without backup power, so I hope we don't lose it. And we haven't lost power at all today, not even flickering. So, but also the winds have been very calm here.
WS2N. Go ahead, Paul.
PSANG on their site, they give all the outages, and they got 351 in Nassau and 260 in Strix.
Okay, 300 in one county and 200 in the other county, and since we've got in those two counties, something like 5 million people, 7.5 million people total on Long Island, if you include Queens and Brooklyn. So that's a relatively small percentage, but still people are out. Okay, let's see what Rich's question is. We'll discuss anything except antennas, Rich. What would you like to talk about? N2EO in Massapequa, K2LIW. You got it, Rich?
You know, we had a light to go out earlier. They came back in a couple of minutes, so if I lose it, you'll know why. Have a handout here I can get on. Think I have a computer question. I hope maybe Chris is listening. He really knows. But, Patty has been very sick. She was supposed to go in for surgery on Monday. They sent her home. She's too well. So I said to her son, is there anything she would like? And he said yes. She'd love to have either a laptop or a tablet. I'm going to be sorry. Anyway, I found something on Walmart.com. I think she'd love it, but I don't know. I'm just leery because it's only $100. It's not a scam. It says RCA Cameo, CAMBIO, 10.1-inch, 2-in-1 tablet, 32-gigabyte internal Atom, that's a processor, quad-core processor, which it comes preloaded with Windows 10. I don't know how they can sell that for $100. That's for $50 more. bundle it with for me with Microsoft Office 365 for the 1 year subscription. So I wonder if anybody knows anything about that or the in general on these combination units. The 10.1 is excellent because he's got very poor vision. Back to net.
Yeah, I hope we have some computer mavens on tonight. My son is out of town. KP2IQN, Chris. Let's see if Chris is available. Are you there, Chris?
Yes, I am. KP2IQN.
Fantastic. I'm guessing you might be mobile. So go right ahead. I wonder if you heard Rich's question and if you've got some comments on all of the above. KP2IQN. Mobile, I believe. K2IW in the tech net.
Well, I'm in the car, but I'm stationary at the moment because I heard Rich's question and pulled over. I'm about 1,000 feet from the QTH. Anyway, I'm a little bit familiar with combo units only because I have sort of a combo tablet, if you will. Like, it's sort of a computer and a tablet. That's the way in which I'm familiar with it. I'm not familiar with the particular tablet that Rich is talking about. Office 365 is something I don't personally care about, only because of LibreOffice or OpenOffice, which is a free office suite. Other people use Office 365 and seem to like it. The downside with Office 365 is you have to be online to use it, because it's an online-only application. So that's the main reason I'm not terribly interested in it. Windows 10 is, I've played with it some, it's okay-ish, it's not bad, but it's got strong issues with privacy because of the telemetry, which is really difficult to turn off. And let's drop for a second. But there are all kinds of these tablets or combo tablets or laptops or what have you. What I do know, which is really interesting, is that the sales of both desktops and laptops are dropping dramatically, and there's been a large purchasing of tablets or combo tablets or phones. So that is where the computing devices are getting stronger. Another thing I will say is that a tablet by itself is not conducive to typing. Trying to type on a screen is quite terrible, so it's very common for people to have tablets and then get a Bluetooth keyboard, for instance. So if you get either a combo tablet or only a tablet, I would recommend getting a Bluetooth keyboard, because if you actually try to do it for any real work, you will want some kind of a keyboard device. Back to that, KP2IQN.
Quite a bit of good information there, Chris. Let me ask you this. Even though the tablet or laptop that's being offered is not exactly ideal, it's not your favorite kind of software, firmware, typing ability, and so on, my first gut feel is that for $100 or $150, it's hard to go wrong if it will give you any service at all. From what you're describing, a reasonable screen with lots of portability would be a tablet where you buy an auxiliary keyboard that you plug into it for typing purposes. And now I am guessing you have many of the functions you'd have with a desktop at home with a keyboard. Roughly how expensive is that keyboard? Is it plug-inable to most tablets? And for $100 or $150, am I completely naive when I say I don't think you can go too wrong? Simultaneously, do you know of any better deal for what Rich is looking for? KB2IQN, mobile. Fixed mobile, KQIW, the tech net. Yeah, we've got Eric and Rich with further information, but Chris, still answer those questions first. KB2IQN, mobile, KQIW.
I'm more interested in what Rich and Eric have to say about this. However, I will say one thing, is that you can't plug in a keyboard into a tablet, and the reason is that the tablet USB connection is designed specifically to connect to a computer to be able to transfer files, usually over a protocol called MTP these days, at least for Android devices, because it's complicated, but they don't, it's an unmount, it's an, a non-mounting, it's a way of transfer of files without having to mount the partition or the file system. So it's basically, you really need a Bluetooth keyboard if you get one at all, and they usually go for maybe like $20, maybe to $40, something like that. They're not terribly expensive. Over to Rich, KB2SQN.
Thank you, Chris. And guys, it shows that it comes with a keyboard. There are two tabs or something where the keyboard attaches to the tablet. And I don't know how it's doing it, but that's what it shows. Thank you, man.
Darn interesting. Eric, I'll make sure you hit the four beams that I didn't do. Tell us anything you know about all of the above and or better alternatives. KE2EJ, our broadcast expert, as well as computer expert, K2IW, you got it, Eric.
K2IW, K2EJ. Well, the one most important question that I didn't hear anyone ask or address is, why do you need a tablet? What are you going to use? Do you want it as a replacement for your computer? Or do you just want to scan the net and look at stuff and maybe order something? State your purpose, because there's a bunch of different ways to go. There are different forms of tablets. You know, there's Apple, there's Android. By the way, every now and then at Micro Center you'll find an Android on sale for like $50 or $70. Sometimes see even less than that, especially when they're trying to close out an old one. What's your purpose? What do you need it for? And that's going to kind of drive what you need with it.
Very fine, Eric. Rich, I'm going to pass it over to you. I am guessing this is Patty's first independent computer. I don't think she has a desktop at this time. N2EO, K2IW, wait for the beep, Rich.
Like I said, Betty, she's very ill, and she's bedridden, so she, I asked her about this before, she said she would like a laptop or a tablet. So I found this combo unit, and the price is right, it's got Windows 10 on it, the keyboard part, it's regular keyboard, regular keyboard. Patches from the tablet. I said, Jeremy, what do you think she'll do with it? Because that's what she needs. She wants the general computing thing, possibly ordering stuff on the internet. I think she wants to reunite some of her girlfriends on Facebook. Wants it to email. And she's somewhat savvy. She used computers before. And they get to me.
Okay, now we're getting a little bit more of the picture of the requirement. I'm going to pass it over to Chris and Eric to add any further comments as to would Rich's suggestion be sufficient? Do you know of a better way of going about it? And are you also amazed, like I am, that there is a way of connecting the keyboard to this particular tablet that's being offered? KP2IQN first. K2IW, go ahead, Chris.
No, it's not surprising that the keyboard comes with the unit or that it connects. It may be a Bluetooth keyboard. It's more than likely a Bluetooth keyboard that just comes with the unit itself. The one thing I will say is that Windows 10 on a tablet with an Atom processor, I'm not positive, but that sounds like it's, if I'm right, it may or may not be i386 or i64, I can't remember, or x86-64, I think they call it, architecture. It's a plus and a minus, because for Android, for instance, there's thousands, maybe millions of apps for it. So an Android device is where there are the most apps for Android. iPads is another one where there's a lot. There are certain apps that are only on iPad that are not on Android or on Windows. But if you're looking to run, let's say, Windows software, then the Windows 10 device best. So it's more a matter of what she's familiar with as to what she needs, rather than it's hard for me to know whether this is most fitting for her without knowing what she's used to. KB2XUS.
I thank you for that additional information, Chris. Let's see what Eric's got to say about all of the above. And would you go this way if it was, if you were buying this for, let's say, your mother, who is bedridden, Eric? KE2EJ, KE2LAW, and TechNet.
KE2LAW, KE2EJ. Okay, first of all, she's got a quad core at him. It's an I-86, though, so it's just nothing strange. If you're gonna sit there and write a book, now let's start here, but if it is a Windows 10 certified computer that is a touch screen with a keyboard, and some of them, by the way, have their own set of contacts that sit on it specifically for that particular keyboard. Some of them don't, depends on the manufacturer. Microsoft even sells their own line of computer keyboard. You know, limitations are going to be how much memory you've got available, how big stuff you want to put in. By the way, the Atom's a lot slower than a couple of other different series, the Z9C, super fast, but not in portable devices. And you'll find that a lot of Androids actually are not IA6 at all. They're what do you call them? They're rich bucks. They're, same thing, it's in an Raspberry Pi brain, it's not happening. Which is a different type of microprocessor that is up.
Yeah, Chris is going to have a couple of extra comments on this after Eric. Go ahead, Eric.
And as far as the users, the operating system is the interface, so they don't really have to worry so much about the technology. If you just want to write emails and doodle and play games and be on Facebook, Apple is just fine and dandy. If you're going to do heavy work and you're an artist or you're some type of professional and you want your machine for many different applications where you might want to attach some additional hard drives and things of that nature, then, you know, the traditional desktop is more the route you want to go. So, there you go.
I thank you, Eric. Chris, that's some further comments. I'm going to then pass it back to both of you guys and ask that if you were rich with what you now know, would you go for this particular deal? KB2IQN for the first set of comments. K2LAW. Go ahead, Chris.
The word I was looking for is an arm processor.
Right, that's exactly what I was going to bring up, the ARM processor, and that's exactly what's in the Raspberry Pi 1, 2, and 3 as well. But yeah, so there's what, just like Eric said, there is a strong limitation in terms of the onboard storage when it comes to a tablet. So how much onboard storage there is, and it's usually flash storage, by the way, not a disk, which is another difference between a desktop and a laptop versus a tablet. And how much RAM there is also a limitation because you can't simply add that in most cases, the majority of cases. In fact, I don't know of a tablet that you can either replace the battery or add additional storage unless there's an SD card slot. Some of them do have an SD card slot, and that is another oddity because how they actually can use the SD card is different. Another really big difference between tablets and computers is there's no mouse when it comes to a tablet. You're using a touchscreen only. Now, this doesn't mean that, oh, by the way, that Windows 10 or Android doesn't have mouse capability. And I found this out because I have a convertible tablet that's a PC, and you can run Android in a virtual machine, and then you can use the mouse in Android, for instance. So it's not that, you know, that this is not possible. It's just it doesn't have it naturally. So it also, that changes how you use the device as well. so it depends, just like what Eric was asking, how are you planning on using this? If for instance, Patty is more used to using a mouse, and now she needs to learn how to use a touch screen, it is a little different, and it does take some getting used to. Back to that, KB2IQN.
Most of the Windows 10 certified will also work with a pen, and many of the pens are such as unfit. But you're talking too much technology to someone that has no technology base.
Is it that difficult to learn to use a on-screen mouse? In other words, you're wiping a pen or you're wiping your finger across the screen, and I guess by some means you have the equivalent of
it's all about setup. Once you've got it, it's easy to use. If you're just alone and you have to attach your pen by Bluetooth and your keyboard by Bluetooth, that can be problematic to some people.
Okay, if I'm using an on-screen mouse-like equivalent, how do I do a left click and a right click? Eric, go ahead.
Depends on the hardware you buy. In the simplest form, without a pen, you're pointing with one finger, and you might be right-clicking with two fingers, and you might be left-clicking with two fingers and right-clicking with three fingers. There's different schemes of different manufacturers. If you've got a pen, you usually have a little button on it, and one will be a right click and a left click. It's a lot easier sometimes.
Okay, that function sounds adaptable. Now, if I am doing slightly heavy work and I'm running out of internal memory, do I have the ability to download to other media off that particular machine? Eric first, KE2EJ, KE2LAW.
Well, let's say you're a smart computer person, it's really rather simple. If you've got a machine in your house that you like to store your stuff on, what you can do is create the Windows 10 A remote folder. It looks like a folder on your desktop, and then you drag to it, actually winds up on your desktop machine. There are other methods. You can use an SD card and download it and store it that way. And hopefully your device has some form of external storage, like an SD card or a compact flash card if you're talking an older one. There are ways. It's just a matter of being aware of how to implement.
Yeah, earlier, Chris, you were worried about whether or not there's an external port by which you can put in external media, and maybe it's going to be done by Wi-Fi. So if I did run into an internal memory limitation, is that much of a stumbling block, Chris? KB2IQN, K2RIW, the TechNet.
Well, I'm going to give the same kind of answer Eric would, which is it depends. For instance, some of the devices will have a limitation on the size of the SD card that you can put on it. So some will take a 32 gigabyte SD card, some will go up to 128 megabyte SD card. Some of them will take only a micro SD card. Some of them will only take a full size SD card, and so forth. So it's a little bit weird, and the way in which it uses the SD card may be different. Like, you may not be able to put applications on the SD card on some devices. Some of it's just, it's for storage only, but not for
over wired Ethernet, maybe up to 40 megabytes a second over gigabit Ethernet. This is not something a tablet can do. It's more limited to whatever the wireless will do. So there's, like I'm saying, there's different use cases in which whether a tablet, a convertible laptop to tablet versus a laptop or a desktop is what's most useful. KB2IQN.
Something
added
to that?
Go right ahead, Eric, and if your particular tablet will only download to a particular size of external memory device, is that a real limitation? I mean, if it only takes X number of bytes to a particular card, and I use two or three cards in a row, so to speak, and from what you know, would you go for this deal, Eric? KE2EJ, K2LAW, and the TechNet?
Now, we'll ask your last question first. Probably not. I hate Windows. I hate Microsoft. I live with it. I'm very partial to Unix and my Mac. Although, there's some folks out there very partial to Linux. But I'll take CSP Unix any day. The point is this. Okay, I even download movies to it. You know, a movie compressed MPEG-4 might be like 6 to 8 gigabytes. And by the way, he said megabytes before he meant gigabytes. Get 128 gigabytes. That's micro SD cards, believe it or not. And actually, they give you a little adapter that makes it look like a normal size SD card so you can plug it into stuff. Unless, of course, you've got a micro SD slot, which you would on your phone. Also, by the way, some tablets have a cellular data in them, which, you know, comes at a cost. But there's also speed limitations on that one when it's up. If you're going to do serious work, you might want to use the tablet as a presentation device to play back, say, if you're in Windows world, to play back an Excel or a OneNote or, you know, the various different Microsoft things that they have. I can't think of the name of the display program. But when you write one line, it makes like 6 megabytes of data. Nope, you can't think of it right now. Adobe has their versions. There's a lot of different ones out there. If you are talking Windows 10, chances are it'll just load and do its thing. But if you're really heavy into, you know, stuff that you've got to really work for work, let's say, or things like that, where you're spending a lot of time in front of the keyboard, you're much better off with a real laptop or you know, a desktop. As a portable carry around, get on Facebook, get on Twitter, see what the weather is, maybe watch a movie or something like that, or hunt around YouTube. It's no better device because it holds it in your hands, and it's really cool. The tablets I have are Mac, so, you know, I'm biased, I'm prejudiced, I'm sorry. Keep calling WP2K.
Yeah, hearing
you
strong, similarity between Eric and Chris. Chris also doesn't like Microsoft and likes Linux a hell of a lot better. Give us some further words on all of the above, Rich. I mean, Chris. KB2IQN, K2LAW in the tech man.
I'm just going to say that I agree with Eric. Either Mac or Linux to me is better because I'm used to anything in the Unix world. But much more so because of the Windows telemetry issue, which is Microsoft's end user license agreement these days is highly objectionable. They've been pushing Windows 10 as a free upgrade in ways in which it's disrupted people's work. That's been in the news a whole lot lately. I could go into this, but this is just the latest thing. Anyway, so I don't remember exactly, what did you ask me last time?
Okay, let me change the question around a little bit. I have the impression from what Richard said, Patty is quite used to Windows-like machines. And although both of you guys are in love with Linux-like operating systems, to convert a person from Windows to Linux at this stage of their life, relatively difficult.
I don't recommend it.
Exactly. So I think we've got to stick with Windows. Chris, under those circumstances, is this one of the better machines?
And something.
Hey, Eric, is this one of the better machines at the price that could be purchased? Eric, K2EJ, K2LAW.
Okay, I will say this much, that making a transition from Windows to Mac is smooth and easy, but Windows users never go back to Windows, so, you know, what Chris and I are really talking about is the operating systems themselves and how they exist. For example, in an Android tablet and in an Apple tablet, you're working with an ARM processor, actually the latest one is the A9 that's in the iPad, and also some of the new Android tablets. But in terms of user interface, a transition from Windows to Mac, or Macintosh, or OS X, as they call it, it is so much easier. And when Windows users make that switch, they're amazed and they won't go back. There are some quirky differences between the two of them, but you tend to like them much better on the Mac than you do on the Windows machine. I didn't catch who the manufacturer was that was offering this particular combo. If it's any of the big Chinese guys, it's probably just fine.
Rich, you might have some further words on this, what brand name and so on. I'm going to pass it back to you two guys. I'm going to ask, do you know of an equal deal in Mac as opposed to a Windows deal for a comparable price? But N2EO, H-R-I-W, go ahead, Rich.
Okay, Dick, and everybody, N2EO. It says RCA Canvio, C-A-N-V-I-O. It's 7.1 inch, which you need that rise man. It says 32 gigabytes, Intel Atom, number, if you know it, is Season Zebra 373 Sierra Foxtrot. Quad core processor and Windows 10 back in.
Let me respond to that.
You got it, Eric.
Copy, test land.
All recognized, but Eric first.
All right, 32 gigabytes. Not a heck of a lot of memory by today's standards. Okay. Let's just start there. Windows 10 itself is going to eat up maybe 10 or 12 megabytes, and now you're down to maybe 20 gigabytes, I'm sorry, of storage. Big difference between gig and meg. That's fine for carry-around entertainment type of laptop or tablet. I've never heard of that particular manufacturer, but if you're getting it from Walmart or somebody like that, if you've got any problems, they're going to exchange it. You may find yourself very limited with a tablet like that if you're doing anything serious. It's kind of like really small by today's world. So. Get your head up and play this game.
Yeah, but a laptop might not do it because of the size of the tablet, bigger screen, 10.1 inch for somebody with a limited eyesight, but that's another factor. Somebody with 2N, what would you do in this situation, Paul? K2LIW, you got a Paul.
Yeah, I tried to get away from Windows 10, and I wanted to also, I thought Linux was kind of complicated, so I went with Chromebook. I don't know if you guys have looked up the Chromebook story. It's very good. It's really the Google world. You can run all kinds of applications and things. You do need Wi-Fi to make it work. If you take it off into the middle of the country somewhere with no Wi-Fi, you're pretty much dead in the water. It's not just internal memory, but mostly everything's on the cloud, and it's pretty good. I have a tablet. And everything I put in the tablet automatically winds up on the Chromebook. And the Chromebook is in my case, it's like a laptop computer, so it's a good size screen. I got bad eyes too, so it works out good. Back to you, Dick.
I thank you, Paul. Let's see if Chris has got some further words on all of the above. That maybe there's an easy way without too many dollars to convert a person to Mac or Linux, if they happen to be a Windows person. You've converted a bunch of people in our QTH into Linux people, Chris. KB2IQN, mobile, KQLIW, the tech man.
Okay, one thing that you had asked was a comparable device for Apple, like an iPad. My understanding is that the iPads or the Apple devices, even the used ones, tend to be a little bit more expensive. However, I like the security of OS-10 that they use a whole lot more than pretty much anything else, to tell you the truth, even over the Linux days. They have very good security on the Apple devices, and they last a good long time. I've been pretty impressed with the iPads that I've seen. I don't own one. I don't own any Apple devices, and I probably will never own an Apple device that I know of, but that's something that I'm impressed with. The Chromebooks are really cool, too, not only because of what they come out of the box to do, but because you can also load Ubuntu or another kind of Linux on the side with those, or even replace the base OS, which is what I've been helping people do, at their own request, without even it being something I want them to do, which is kind of interesting. This happens relatively often. And so, yeah, there's all these things, and I think some of the Chromebooks come with touch screens as well as a keyboard, which is really nice. The Chromebooks are relatively cheap. But there again, the biggest issue that I know of is the onboard storage is available, but I think it's usually an SSD drive with those. I think that's enough to confusion to add to all this. All I'm saying, you know, here, and I agree with Eric, by the way, that 32 gigabytes is way not enough storage for a tablet these days. Back to that, KB2IQN.
Lots of information that's flowing here. Does anybody, which is the sound of my voice, have anything further to add or question about the purchase of a laptop, tablet-like computer for a bedridden person? Any further questions or comments? Give me a call with us right now. K2LAW in the TechNet.
More of the comments, WS2N.
Got one more, Tuesday.
Okay, Paul and Eric in that order. You got a Paul.
This thing, it's made by Acer. It came with 100 gigabytes, you know, on the cloud. So, it, you know, like an infinite amount of space as far as I'm concerned. And as far as operating it, there's no mouse involved. You know, it looks like a laptop, but there's no mouse. It's got a very large touchpad. Very interesting. Back to you, Dick.
Before we leave you, Paul, roughly how many bucks is that thing that you're now mentioning?
Walmart is very like Eric said, very inexpensive. You can come out of there less than 200 for a 15 and a half inch screen. Now what's good is if you're working on your tablet and you just have the same programs, I don't care what it is, your Calendar, your everything is whatever you put on one pops up on the other. It's pretty cool. Back to you, Dick.
I should mention to you, Paul, that your audio is a little bit heavy, and once you've jumped out of the machine for a fraction of a second. K2EJ, K2LAW, go ahead, Eric.
K2LAW, K2EJ. Paul, you've got too much audio again, and that doesn't know, it's too much deviation. What I've got to say is that, you know, if we stop talking about buying something for $100, and you want to buy a serious combo machine, Sony, Microsoft, Asus, a whole bunch of them sell really high-end tablet computers, which full-blown i86 machines with a couple of USB ports on them and a terabyte of drive, but now you start talking $800, $900, $1,000. The high-end of the Apple, by the way, which is an OS 10 in the tablet and the phone is iOS, which is a variation of it. Everything is similar. It's sort of a recompiled OS 10 in a different way. The kernel's the same. A bunch of other stuff is the same. But they really lock it up tighter than the drum. They won't let you get at a lot of stuff. But all the programs that you run on it are essentially recompiled for the ARM machine, which is different than the Mac, which is an Intel machine. So, you know, you can't actually go out and buy yourself a big, full-blown thing, but all you gotta do is reach into your pocket. KK2RIW. And by the way, the Windows certified tablet machine will all operate with pen. And pen has the buttons on it so you can click left and right. And they're also pressure sensitive. The more you push down, the fatter the line, especially if you like to draw. There's a whole bunch of them out there. It just takes money. K2RIW, KK2RIW.
Nowadays, Eric, to get the slightly higher end machine that you're now discussing, instead of spending $100, are we spending $500, a rough number, owe you, Eric?
Machines that are going to be productive start at $500 and work their way up.
Okay, on the subject of a computer, a brand new computer, so to speak, laptop, tablet, or whatever, for a bedridden person. Anyone with any further questions or comments, give me a call at us right now. K2RIW, the Tech Man. Who is that?
Kevin here, Kilo Delta 2, Golf Michael Bravo. For someone bedridden, they make pads to go under the laptop itself there to minimize the chance of overheating. So it might be a piece of plexiglass over there just so, you know, it's not sitting on a blanket and would soon overheat. So that's definitely a consideration to keep in mind. For laptops, if they're going to sit on a pillow or something for a while, they're going to burn out.
Yeah, that's another good piece of information, Kevin. What do you do to solve that problem? And give me a call one more time, Kevin. Back to you, Kevin.
It's KD2GMB, Kilo Delta 2, Golf Mike Bravo. I don't use the laptop in bed for one, and I avoid using it on a table that has a tablecloth because sometimes, you know, that will get caught in the intake vent that I have on my particular laptop. They sell rubber feet, you know, Radio Shack used to sell them, someone still sells them. That's a good thing to have even on a hard table, and there are laptop cooling devices there. They're typically starts with a board and maybe an extra fan, and that goes underneath it. Your laptop will sit on top of that. I haven't seen it in a while, but I haven't had to look for them in a long time, but they do exist.
Thank you, Kevin. Anybody with any further questions or comments? Go ahead, Eric.
Now, Intel's come out with a new line of flashes. Most laptops have fans in the most people realize. And they get hot. The Skylake processors that are coming out now are designed to operate without fans. They just radiate their heat through the body, but they use about two-thirds less current than the previous generation of processors did. So more and more, that's becoming less and less of a problem.
A fair number of laptops do have a fan. The fan brings in the air, cools the, particularly the microprocessor, which I think is one of the hottest running components inside. Air running past those fins does the job very nicely for about a year, depending on how much cat hair is in your house and other kinds of dust. Eventually, there's no such thing as a filter on a laptop, air filter, so it's eventually going to get clogged. I'm reasonably sure, Chris, you ran into that problem once where the computer started running hot, slower and slower. It was great difficulty, even though it's not made to be taken apart. You took it apart and cleaned out all the dust in order to alleviate that problem. Is that still a problem these days? And have I misquoted you, Eric? I mean, Chris. KB2IQN. K2RIW in the Tech Man.
No, that's correct. However, I didn't disassemble the laptop in order to clean out the dust from the heatsink. So it's very, very common for laptops to have thermal thermal dissipation that requires a fan above the either the CPU or a combination CPU and GPU. And when there's dust on the heatsink, the thermal conductivity changes drastically. So what I did was I blew it out with an air compressor. A friend of mine has an air compressor at his house, and he actually has, for whatever reason, the air compressor is in his basement, and he has several outlets, in, like one inside the house and one outside the garage. And I took the compressed air that outlet that he has on the inside and used that to blow my the dust out of the laptop heatsink. And I do that periodically when I visit him, and this way it doesn't build up and the laptop can stay cooler. And I've noticed it's a dramatic difference if you do that periodically versus not doing it periodically. If you leave for several months when it normally runs the fan, at some point the laptop will even shut off from being overheated, even when it's running the fan as max, because of all the dust that's collected on the KB2IQN.
Additional comments?
Yeah, some people have a kitty cat or a dog that they'll pet and not even realize the amount of hair coming off the animal that's being sucked into the machine. KE2EJ, K2RW, I wonder if you have any animals in your house, Eric?
Yeah, we do. We have kitty cats. We leave them messing everywhere. K2RW, K2J. What I wanted to say is I've worked on quite a number of different laptops. The Mac, even the Air Mac, the AirBook, have two fans in them. But what they did a very interesting design. There's actually a multi-channel buffer that the air passes through, so it catches everything on the outside. Although it looks like little blank pieces of plastic, but it's kind of amazing. But the other thing that I wanted to point out with Mac, or at least in OS 10, they control the speed of the fans directly based upon the temperature, the surface temperature of the processor itself, with the memory management stuff, the grid chips and all that business. And it will actually announce to you when it comes time to cleaning and offer some suggestions. Well, you have to see that message.
So from what I'm hearing, Eric, because the rate of the fan runs is a function of temperature, as it gets more and more clogged and the temperature gets higher, the fan runs higher, that gives you a clue. And not everyone has access to a high-power air compressor. Is there any chance that a good, strong vacuum cleaner held up against the fan apertures can clean the machine? I'm going to ask Eric and Chris in that order. KE2EJ, K2RIW.
All right, well, there's a couple of things I want to mention here. You know, high pressure air can be a good thing, but at the same time, it can be a bad thing. I've seen instances where dust will get bunched up into a ball and stuff. I've seen instances where people have actually blown the little tiny itty-bitty forks of the fan blade off. But if you're going to think about it, you know, that you're actually heading air in the direction in which it normally travels. The only thing that you might think negative of a vacuum cleaner is that you're going to be spinning the fan in the opposite direction if there's a Hall effect device on it. Chances are it doesn't know what direction it's going, so it don't care. Even though you have the computer off, we're talking a laptop, there's always a little bit of monitoring going on. But, yeah, I can see a good vacuum making a good seal to it, sucking the stuff out in the opposite direction of which it came is actually better than trying to step it all the way through the system, so to speak. KYWKJ.
I didn't have as good a result with trying to use a vacuum cleaner than I did with the air hose. And the canned air doesn't have the same pressure that a compressor put out. So, nor the volume. KB2IQN.
As I said, you need a good seal with a vacuum cleaner. Or a big vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, we own a Dyson, which does give you pretty good suction. But the kind of air, compressed air that you can get in a can, some of those come with a little skinny piece of tubing in theory, you can stick this skinny piece of tubing past the fan and maybe into some critical spots inside and do a better job of blowing away the dust from the fin. Am I overly optimistic on this one? Eric and Chris in that order. KE2EJ, K2LAW.
Nothing wrong with a good can of air. Just don't hold the can upside down. Otherwise, you'll get a mixture of freon and alcohol. Unless, of course, you've got a photographic can of air, which is made out of carbon dioxide. They don't last too long. It's nice and clean. No, I don't have a problem with that. And actually, the air channels are pretty much sealed inside the laptop. That's just how air flows around. So, if you're thinking that you're going to knock a leaded component off its lid, forget it, because there ain't no leaded components. Everything's surface now, so, you know. If it's going to come loose, it already came loose. It's not going to happen when you're hitting it with canned air or even a high-pressure hose, so to speak. The channels inside that the air flows through are pretty defined. So, I just can't see doing any kind of damage.
It's a very noisy station trying to sign in. I'm going to go to Chris first and then try you again. KB2IQN, K2LIW, go ahead, Chris.
Well, I've never damaged a laptop yet with canned air or with a compressor. So it's just a matter of importance to clean out the fins from the dust to get the thermal conductivity back to what it should be. Sorry, you asked me a question, I can't remember what it was. Something to do with the canned air with the little tiny tube. I tried it, I didn't like the results from that. It needs more volume in order to blow out the dust. Keep it like you.
And Chris, even though you used a high-pressure compressor with air, there's probably a way that you can direct that more carefully to make sure you don't break off the blades on the fan.
Yeah, the noise it makes.
Okay, so you can tell by the noise when you're doing it wrong. Sounds like you didn't have that problem of breaking off blades on the fan, even though you used high power compressed air, Chris. KB2IQN, K2LIW.
That's correct. I've never broken off a fin on the fan. And what I like about the compressed air is that it gives you some control because the compressed air comes out of a little tiny nozzle, and you can aim the nozzle in different spots to find the area where you need to blow out the dust. And you can see where, at least the laptop that I've got has an inlet on one side and an outlet 90 degrees perpendicular from there off the back. So I can actually watch as I get different parts of the heat sink. The only thing I do know is this particular laptop that I've got, the fan is open on the top, on the inside, so I know that in blowing in compressed air, I might be blowing in dust in another area inside, but I can live with that. I understand this. KB2IQN.
B2JAS.
Okay, I've heard JAS and MAR in that order. Give me the full calls of JAS and your name, sir, and then go right ahead. Mr. JAS, K2LAW.
K2LAW, K2JAS, the name is Roger. It's been a little over 6 months since we spoke last, and I'm back from Florida. And I'm having a small problem, Dick, not being able to hear anybody on the Echolink. Is there a problem with Echolink, or is it on my end? And also, as far as the air compressor is concerned, if anyone frequents a particular garage for service on your car, you can always bring your laptop and use their air hose if you ask nicely, and you can blow to your heart's content. Back to you, Dick. Okay, 2JAS.
Echolink is fine.
Yeah, very fine, Roger. According to the man who's monitoring Echolink, Echolink is working. So maybe you've got a local problem. I thank you for your information, Roger.
Repeater, timeout.
Command standby.